Oi, yeah, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. This week, the guys are talking up daring to think differently. Let's have a listen to the conversation.
Well, welcome to episode number 5. Have we got a theme song?
No, we can't. We can't come in without a theme song.
Okay, well, do your theme song.
Golden brown texture like sun lifts me up with my munchie run.
Where do you pull them from, though?
So good. Takes me back to when I was a fetus.
Right.
Anyway.
So we're in a new studio, which means absolutely nothing to the people who are hearing us and not seeing us. We're done with the theme song. Anyway, moving right along. We're in a new studio.
Yeah, they just put makeup on me, which
And you look amazing.
No, but I kind of felt nice.
I can't see myself reflected in your face anymore, no.
It kind of felt nice. It was nice because Cleve did it.
Cleve, I know.
Cleve and makeup.
I know.
Anyway,
we're in a new studio and it's really cool, and I really don't actually know what we're talking about today. So do you want
to? Well, I kind of got given out to on our last podcasts because they were telling me that I wasn't giving you enough airspace.
Awkward.
Yes. So I'm going to give you more airspace this time, and I think we want to hear a little bit more from you, Amelia, okay?
Okay.
So you're going to have to participate.
All right.
So I'm going to put my serious glasses on now.
Okay.
For those of you that are listening to this thing, I've got my serious glasses now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got this Facebook link last week, which is really interesting, about belief systems around eating animals and eating meat.
Oh, that video. Mm. Oh, now I know which video you're
Did you watch
about.
It?
Yeah. It was good.
But it was interesting because, and then there was a couple of other feeds that I'd had, and I'm so crap on Facebook.
You are. Honestly. You're technologically challenged.
I
tagged you in a really important post the other day, and you still haven't.
That was an acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Was it?
But anyway, let's.
An acknowledgement for you?
No.
There's no reason for me to open that. But it was a really interesting because they were talking. My wife said to me years ago, you know, there's going to come a time where we will no longer see, you know, cattle trucks driving down the highway with animals in it. And she said, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, it was the same sort of thing, except it was people in those things. And so my wife is, she's trying to be vegan. She's definitely a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't eat meat. And it was talking about the extremities of veganism and, well, the extremities of vegetarians and the extremities of veganism in terms of their belief systems, right?
Yeah.
So the point was, they were saying that, you know, a vegetarian's belief is very extreme. You know, they won't eat meat, but a vegan is even more extreme. You know, they won't have leather seats in their cars. They won't wear leather shoes. They don't eat anything, you know, with a face. They don't eat any fish, any form of meat at all.
Yeah.
And
anything derived from animals.
And they were having a go at this particular chap who was a vegan, and he made a really important point. He said, well, that's your belief system, that we're really extreme. So let's have a look at the interviewer's belief system. And the interviewer's belief system is this, that you will take an animal and you will get that animal and you will feed this animal in a field. And then you'll take the animal and you will slaughter the animal. You will butcher the animal. You will then cook the animal and you will eat its rotten flesh. And I thought, holy shit. Now, and then he said, I think that that's an extreme of a belief system. And I sat back and I thought about it and I thought, whoa. Now, where does that fit?
Yeah, into, how does that relate with us?
How does that fit into our model? And I mean, you know, air philosophy is really simple. Like, it's really simple.
It is really simple, but the problem is that for people who've never heard of anything like this, it does seem extreme.
Yeah.
It seems like it's like, how can you possibly think like that? How could you possibly see what you're seeing, see the world or view the world how you're viewing the world?
But I think that the people who are thinking like that, the way you just said, how can you are actually not thinking.
Yeah.
I think that the thinking that they have is not actually their own thinking.
It's somebody else's views imposed on them. They think they're thinking, but they're regurgitating almost.
Well, I think that they're being loyal to how society should see things because society hasn't worked out how to see things greater. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you see something that you perceive as negative has happened to you in your life, you know, and you adhere to society's view of it, society goes, oh my God, that's terrible. What happened to you was really bad. But if, you know, what if you were to be able to turn that around? What if you were, if you were able to stop and look and go, well, in actual fact, in that moment, you know, I had to be really strong to come out the other side of it. I had to be really courageous. I had to be really open. You know, I had to be forgiving. I had to be humbling. I had to, you know, what if out of that comes your greatest gift? You know, what if out of that you actually turn your life around? And if you look at, like, if we go to Hollywood, you look at, you know, any of the greatest comedians. You know, I remember reading Billy Connolly's book, which was wrote by Pamela Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Pamela Stevenson, by the way, was a comedian, and she used to work with Not the 9 o'clock News in the early 80s, and she was a brilliant comedian. And Not the 9 o'clock News were all these guys from, you know, from Oxford, and they were very well educated.
Yeah.
And you know, you had Rowan Atkinson was one of Not the 9 o'clock News. Rowan Atkinson is an amazing comedian. But you know, behind all great comedy is great tragedy. And if you research the history of any of their lives, they all had really, really, really tragic upbringings. Like Robin Williams.
The comedians.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, but they took what happened to them and turned it around. You know, the way in which they handled life was to start to, there was no other way to look at it other than to, you know, I got to turn this into a joke. The only way for me to actually counter what is going on here in my life is I have to find a humor in it. And, it, you know, they were talking about Billy Connolly, and Billy Connolly, now don't let me take over.
No, okay. I'm
Billy Connolly. Billy Connolly was talking about how he was, you know, how he became a comedian, and he was a banjo player, and he'd travel around from pub to pub to pub in Ireland and also in Scotland. And these pubs were really rough. Like, you know, they had cages in them. You'd get bottles thrown at you. And he said one day he was on stage and he's singing a song, and he suddenly forgot the lyrics. So he was on stage and he said, you know, I'm just short of getting 20 bottles thrown at me on stage. So he said, I had to think of something. So what he did was he thought of a joke, and he told us a real life story about his aunt. And his aunt was crazy. In the end, his aunt used to beat him with the heel of a shoe, used to knock his teeth out. And in the end, she went missing. And when they went looking for her in the house, she was living under the raft, under the floorboards of the house. So the woman was completely insane. And Billy, you know, Billy got in the biography, he goes through his whole life and talks about the tragedy of what occurred. But when he was on stage, he told this really funny story about his life with his aunt, and the whole audience were like rolling around the floor. And then he remembered the lyrics and went back into the song. And if you look at how he actually, if you see Billy in concert, that's exactly what he does. He sings a song, he stops, he then tells a story for about 20 minutes, and the ending of the story leads him back into the song, and away he goes. So behind all great tragedy, our great comedy is great tragedy. Any of them, like Robin Williams, any of them.
So I get what you're saying, right? But let's get back to the point of what we're actually talking about, right? Because I think, and the reason being is it's an important point. So what you're saying is that behind all great comedy is great tragedy.
Yeah.
But I think that what we're saying here is that the way we see things is that people go through life, right? Mm-hmm. And as they go through life, shit happens. We can't avoid shit happening, right? Yeah. And so stuff is going to happen, but we have a choice.
Yeah.
We can either carry that along and make that the reason why we don't go and live the lives that we want to live, or we can stand on the shoulders of that and use that as our greatest tool to live our best life. And that's what we're saying that these comedians are doing and that these guys are doing. They're sure that they've had this stuff happen to them, but rather than carry it around with them, they're using it as their greatest tool.
Yeah.
So people think that that's extreme. This is what we're talking about, right? Yeah. That the way that we think that, well, actually, if we were to look back at what happened there, we can make out of it whatever we want.
Yeah.
We can make it the worst thing that's ever happened or the best thing that's ever happened.
But you see, I think it's extreme for a person to take what happened to them and drag it through their lives as their reason never to step up and shine. I think it's extreme for a person to take that event that happened to them and live their lives as a victim of that event, because the event never ends. It's always occupying their mind and space and time. It never, ever ends.
Because it might have happened once at that time, but because they're living that over and over and over again, it's actually continuing to happen to them throughout their lives. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here, right, because I know that there's people listening out there that are going, well, That might be well and good for you, but what about people who've had
I've had serious shit happen to me. You've had serious shit happen to me. We all have serious shit that happens to us. When we're talking about we're not just talking about you and me. We're talking about people who go, okay, this happened to me, but how do I evolve out of it? How do I use it? How do I go, okay, I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to embrace what occurred, and I'm going to find the gold and the gems in that, and I'm going to use that gold and those gems to actually create a life for myself, to actually go, you know what? Who am I as a result of that? Because you're not the sum of the event. Yeah. And I think it's extreme for a person to think they're the sum of the event.
I think that is important. You are not the sum of the event. You are not the sum of what happened to you. You can choose to identify with that as the only thing about who you are, but that's not all of who you are.
And when you're doing, people sometimes feel that they have to adhere to what society says. But when you're working with the individual every single time, they want to emanate and shine. They want to go, listen, this stuff occupies my mind all the fucking time. It determines how I am with my husband. It determines my behavior with my kids. I don't want it to do that anymore. How do I take what occurred and turn it into my greatest blessing? How do I take what occurred and turn it into my vision and my mission? And how do I help other people to do the same thing, to turn it into their vision and their mission? What occurred for them actually shape their own eminence, the person that they actually
are. So here's what I'm thinking then, as we're talking about that, right? The people that come to us to do any work with us, right, at some level have asked for the possibility to view things in a different way, right? Do you think that what do you think then stops anybody else from seeing it, or from what do you think can makes people feel like this way is so extreme, that our way of thinking is so extreme? Is it because do you think that they don't know how, or they don't even, that it hasn't registered in some way that there another way is possible? Like,
we get back to the vegetarian and the veganism. The only reason that concept looks extreme is because the person who's judging the vegan and the vegetarian hasn't stopped to think about perhaps how extreme their view is.
So you're saying
nobody's pointed it out to them that do you get that you get an animal and you feed it in a field, and you then take that animal and you slaughter the animal. You kill it, you slaughter it, you butcher it, you cook it, and then you eat its rotten carcass.
So what has to happen?
Because then suddenly you sit back and you think, fuck, I never thought of it like that. That's right, because you're not thinking. So I think the gap is that people have to think.
People can't think, Mitch. It's not that they can't think. It's that when you know something all of your life, like I remember prior to doing any personal development work on myself, right, and I started when I was probably about 26, right, just like a couple of years ago, because I'm very young. I started when I was about 26, but up until that point, right, I wasn't exposed to that. And there's people that are 50, 60, 70 who've never been exposed to that sort of stuff, right? But I don't know what I'm saying. I was going to say, so up until, like, unless you're exposed to somebody who thinks in a different way, you're constantly going to be thinking that your way is the only way, is the only normal way.
No, I got a couple of chimes that. I'll tell you what. Because everybody has a knowing to neutralize their extreme emotions.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody knows that, but what happens is sometimes people are loyal to other people's opinions of them. And when you're loyal to someone else's opinion of you, you have no opinion of your own life or who you are. Does that make sense? So we do it out of loyalty. I mean, I remember I used to go to church out of loyalty. I was loyal to my father's view. My father had this view that church was it and this was how it worked, and that was his thing. And I was respectful of that, and I was loyal to his view of it until I looked. And I got my own opinion. And then when I got my own opinion, then I was like, okay, now I see the world a little bit differently to my dad, but I still appreciate my father's view of religion and what he does. That's his view. But there comes a point within our lives where we realize that we are not the sum of the event. We all have a knowing of that.
So then so what would you recommend? Like for you to have that new thought, or for you to have a new awareness that the world you were living in was made perhaps extreme, or perhaps it was only one way because you were loyal to those events. You needed somebody outside. I mean, I know you knew it. Like I knew, I'm the same. I had a knowing there was something greater than this thing that I didn't know how to access. And perhaps it's the how that is missing, because I didn't know how to access it back at that time. But I needed some of these outward things outside of me to reflect back to me that perhaps I wasn't, you know, perhaps there was another way to think.
But I mean, life whispers to us all the time. You know, we're a feedback system.
Everybody, that's cool, because everybody has something inside or has a whispering and understanding and awareness inside.
To a person, anybody who's listening to this, you know, who wants to break free of anything that's going on, ask yourself, okay, just yesterday alone, what sign did life give you showing you that there was more going on than what was occupying your mind? You know, you got to think about it like this. Like, why did Edmund Hillary want to climb Mount Everest? I mean, there's nothing fucking up there. Like, there's nothing up there. There's ice and rock and glaciers, and it's freezing. And like the winds can get up to, you know, 130, even more in wintertime. Like, you can't even go near the joint. But why did Edmund Hillary and I think it was Tenzing Sherpa, was it? Yeah. Want to climb Mount Everest. I probably got that completely wrong in terms of the Sherpa. But because we have a hidden knowing that outside of our problems, there's a solution. Everybody has that. Everybody, that outside what is occupying the problem that I perceive is happening in my life, outside of that problem, there is definitely a fucking solution.
Yeah,
outside of
that.
My history that I've already lived, we know that the future holds more mystery.
We absolutely
know that. That is unquestionable. And nobody escapes that. Nobody gets away from that. Everybody knows it.
And I have to say that for me, I am so like, I'm so grateful that I came across this work. I'm so grateful that we get to do what we do. We were sitting, like, we've just been looking and we're always looking at our work and our seminars and what we're giving to people and stuff. And the last week or so, we've been looking at, you know, just stepping that up in terms of every seminar that we do. And we've been asked to think about different words that represent our message, or what people get out of different things, and, you know, what are the results that people get out of the coming and doing work with us. And, you know, we've been asked to think about, well, what do they get? And one of the things that we're supposed to be answering is an intangible result of, you know, what do they walk away with? But they can't really hold it in their hand. And one of our answer was love. But the truth about it is that for us, it's not an intangible result. It's an actual tangible physical thing that we get to feel when we realize that there's something outside of that thing that we thought was our whole world, you know, that for us is what everybody else sees as extreme. We see as actually that is normal.
Real. I think it's important. I don't think everybody else sees it as extreme. I'm telling you, I fucking don't. I don't think that everybody else sees it as extreme. I think the select see it as extreme. And we need that. You need that select group who see it as extreme to make sure that we stay on our fucking toes. to make sure that we are able to come up with those answers, you know, to because, you know, we're part of a massive movement. I mean, the human development movement is huge. It's undeniable. There's a revolution in food happening out there. There's a revolution in information happening out there. You know, we're in a fucking age of wake up mofos, you know, and we are waking up. We're contemplating some really serious shit, like who are our world leaders and what are they feeding us? How are they kidnapping your consciousness with media forms? That's fucking reality, and that's happening right now. We are not the minority. We are the fucking majority, and the majority is going, I've had enough. I actually want, and the majority is looking in because we have the mechanisms nowadays to look inside of ourselves, to not carry the nonsense around in our lives. I mean, so extreme is, hey, I've had something really shitty happen to me. Have you really? And I've been carrying it around for fucking 20 years. Really? Yep. And everybody else tells me how shitty it was what happened to me. Really? And how's that fucking working for you? Well,
I know.
It's not working. Right. So do you want to see it another way? Do you want to shift it? Because I can guarantee you what lies inside of you is way bigger and way greater than what you think is the fucking nonsense that occurred in your life. You are a genius waiting to just wake up. What about if what occurred to you was there to enable you and empower you and shift you and make you shine and encourage other people to do exactly the same thing? Why else? I mean, life just doesn't fuck with us like that.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Mind blown a little bit today, I think. That was
I got a bit intense there.
Yeah. You did. But that was good. I like that. Yeah. I hope that was helpful for people. Yeah.
It seems when I put these glasses on, I get a bit intense.
Do you think? Mm. Okay. Yeah. All righty.
Have fun.
Yeah. That was good. Cheers.
Boom.
Goodbye.